about the first day of school. Joe.
We're less than a month
away.
Say
it's not so.
I know. To see you guys in July is a little unusual.
I know. You had to come get your plugs.
Yes.
Get them ready.
Yeah. Obviously, with the change in calendar, because we've moved to the modified year-round calendar now, we're starting school earlier. So we wanted to first remind everybody that our students will be back in our buildings on August 4th. Which that means our teachers will be back in our building on July 28th, so just a couple of weeks away. So it is approaching fast. And, of course, again, just to remind everybody what a modified calendar is, we start earlier, but we have a week-long break added to the district calendar in October, another one again in February, and then, of course, the traditional spring break. So basically we took 2 weeks out of the summer and spread them out inside of the school year to kind of give a little bit more of a breakup of the year. One of the other major goals of this was to get as close to 90 days in that first semester, get as close to balanced semesters as we possibly could for our students so that we can even them out. And the only way to do that, obviously, is moving the calendar up.
Well, that calendar model has been used by a couple of other school districts here in our listening area for a couple years now, and really throughout the state. A lot of school districts seem to like this model because I think they enjoy those intercessions, which allow for some to get a break, for others to get caught up if they're, you know, behind or they're struggling during October and February. But that's apparently what your folks, your customers, your teachers and your students have said. By that time, people are starting to run on fumes, and a nice break, more than a day, would be nice.
Yeah, I think it's very telling that actually I believe the majority of the school districts in the state have gone to some form of this calendar. It's a little more of a free-form calendar for each district so they can kind of structure it what fits them best. We're thinking this model is going to be a good one moving forward for us, so we're going to go with that. But yeah, we did hear from parents and teachers and other staff and that kind of stuff about, you know, this type of break, and I think everybody's very interested in this model. For a host of reasons, like you just mentioned. And then also, too, a lot of our families just said, look, you know, it'd be nice to get a break. It also might be nice to do a little bit of traveling when it's not peak season everywhere.
And hot.
You know, yeah, hot, yeah.
You get the fall and the winter.
Definitely wasn't steamy for the 4th of July week, that's for sure. So I think it's going to be an interesting model to go through, and I think everybody's looking forward to it for the year.
Well, Joe, again, is with the Fort Mill School District. Joe, what's the message right now to parents who don't want to or they might be ready for the first day of school at this point in summer, but let's run through the reminders that families, returning families should know, and or new families to the Fort Mill School District that they might need to know.
Sure, absolutely. For our returning students, the returning student registration portal has been open for a while now and is still open, and we ask everybody to please go in and fill that out. Even though you're a returning student and maybe nothing has changed, it's still something we ask everybody to do every year. It allows you to go in and verify your address, your communication avenues, make sure if you need to change an email, change a cell phone, add a cell phone. Mm-hmm. That's a really key piece of that registration. Also tied to that is bus transportation. Every year we ask everybody to go in and fill out their transportation needs so that we can get our routing and scheduling done and get a good idea for where students are going to be at. So that's important for both returning and new students to make sure you complete that piece. If you're new to our district, obviously you're going to be enrolling your student, and we have that process has been ongoing for a while. And a lot of people don't think about it, but we have more than just new kindergartners coming in. We have people moving in all the time that have students at the higher grade levels. So they need to go in and do their registration process, get enrolled, do their residency verifications, provide all their communication information, same as you would if you're doing the returning student. And then next year, obviously, they'll do it as a returning student and verify all of that information. So I understand there might be a couple people in this room that are not sure if they've completed theirs.
I had to make a note.
We're checking. I think we're good.
Live in the Fort Mill School District. But I need to check to make sure that our little one is enrolled in the Rock Hill School District because she's returning. So let this count as she's returning. But in all fairness, parents, while we might procrastinate to get this in because they're returning, we say, well, they're returning, we're good. You just list the reasons why we need to do it because you need to be armed with knowledge as well, right?
Sure.
Class sizes,
yes.
Transportation. The more that you all have, the better it's going to help the kids, and including the communication, Joe.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, the three biggest pieces of this are the transportation piece, being able to get ready for that. the communication piece to make sure that we can contact you and that we have the correct information to do that. And then the biggest part for the school planning piece on this is the staffing. So the returning students, so if you move during the during the summer or after the school year, and we need to know that, you know, that impacts class sizes at different schools. So we need to make sure that we have the right staffing at each school. There have been a couple of years where we've gotten into the school year and realized that, okay, more students came here than we knew were coming, and we need to shift a teacher from a school maybe that some of those kids came out of. So we shift the, not necessarily move the physical teacher, but move the position over to the school, so to the school that is needed. So that does happen, and this is one way we can verify our class sizes and verify where our students are at and see if there are any hot spots we need to address. So it is a really important process, even for those students that have been in the district for most of their career, maybe even going into their junior, senior year. Right. We still need them to do it as well, too.
And I don't mean to be a downer, but there are some safety concerns with that, too, because people who can pick up your child, that might have changed.
Yes, you know, all there's that information always, gets asked
there's custody,
in there.
You know, a grandparent who is an emergency contact might not be able to come and do that any longer, those kind of things. So it's a great place for you to be able to just go in. You don't have to call the school to do it. You just do it right there from your computer.
At
change
the pool.
It up. Yes. Or at the pool. Yep. I've been known to do that before too. And everyone's like, did you get it? Did you get it? Nope, but I'll do it right here.
And so, it's, you know, you need to complete it for each of your students too. So if you have multiple students, we have a new system in place this year. It should make that easier. To do that part where you have multiple students. But you'd be surprised how many times we get, it's funny, we have one parent that'll fill it out for one student, one parent will fill it out for another, and the information is not always the same because somebody typed something in wrong or forgot to put this person's email address. So yeah, please do that process as soon as possible. That's a great help for us.
I think parents procrastinate, maybe. I might be speaking for on behalf of myself. It's reality that it's right around the corner and you don't want it to happen, but you're ready for it to happen, to be honest.
At the same time.
You know, it's,
we all enter a little bit of a summertime mode, too. Yeah. Even though we're still going to work every day, we hit summertime and it's like, well, I need a break from all this.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. Well, someone who's not getting a break is your brand new superintendent.
Yes. So Gray Young officially transitioned into the new superintendent role as of July 1. Dr. Epps transitioned over to the consultant role where he's going to help us out making this, making all these pieces and parts up and running quickly and easily. So so that's all happening. You probably saw on social media Gray moving some things into his office. So specifically the brick was a big thing that went in there with him. I thought that was pretty cool. So we've made that transition over. And then, of course, when you have a candidate who took the position who's internal, you do have some things that you're going to fill behind that. So we had some great people like LaToya Dixon who joined our school district to replace Gray in that assistant superintendent of student services role, which is wonderful. We're very happy to have her. And very lucky to have her come into our district. And then we have some other parts and pieces. We have some other retirements going on. We have Peter Olinger is going to be moving into the Assistant Superintendent for Human Resources. So we're doing a lot of things at the district level that we're getting prepped for and making transitions for as well, too. So it never stops for us, and even in the summertime.
And when school opens in the Fort Mill School District, you will welcome a brand new elementary school to your mix. Flint Hill Elementary School will open on August the 4th. That will bring all of the total of elementary schools in the Fort Mill School District to
12.
Wow.
Yes. So we'll be at 12. So that's going to put us at roughly 21 locations of the K through 12 schools. And then, of course, we have the middle school that will be coming on after that. Mm-hmm. We do have an alternative school, so technically it would be 22. And then, of course, the pre-K program that we got approved in the bond will be coming very soon, too. So that'll be another additional facility that will be going in. And very excited about that one. That's one that's kind of was a legacy project for Dr. Epps, being able to reach those early kids as quickly and as early as possible to help get them prepared to come in even into kindergarten is going to have a lasting effect on their success going through high school. So still a lot of movement, a lot of things going on. Flint Hill will be opening up this year. We're excited about having that building open. I've talked to the staff over there. They've already talked to their parents a ton and got their PTO up and running, and everything is going pretty well over at that building. And matter of fact, it's almost just about finally complete. We have the CEO for that building now as well, too. So it's just kind of the little polishing touches to get it all done and ready to go.
All right. It will be ready to welcome students on August the 4th, as well as all of the other schools there in the Fort Mill School District. Joe Burke is the Chief Communications Officer. Joe, as always, sir, thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of summer, and we'll see you in August.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Yeah.